You are listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio, where I interview incredible people with a connection to Hirschsprung's disease and other associated conditions, such as IBD, IBS, Crohn's, colitis, and ulcerative colitis. Each week, I bring you a new and exciting interview with people from all walks of life, including charity founders, models, and professional sports people. We go through the ups and downs of having Hirschsprung's with a positive message throughout.
Hello and welcome to episode 45 of Tom's Hirschsprung's podcast. With me today is an entrepreneur, the host of the podcast Embrace Your Bravery, and a fellow Reach HD ambassador. Welcome, Robin Taylor. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat today.
Me too. Thank you so much again for coming on. I'm sure a lot of people have been keeping up with your story. And we'll talk about your reels on Instagram and Facebook and everything a little bit later on. But it's an absolute pleasure to have you on because I know you are such a huge advocate of Hirschsprung's disease and finding answers and basically just helping people out, which is kind of all what this podcast is about. So when I saw your story and I saw everything you're doing, I thought, well, this is a perfect person to have. So thank you so much for coming on. As I mentioned as well, we will start sort of from the beginning with your daughter, Charlie Graves. If you'd like to take us back sort of to around about, I believe you said about 2 days old.
Yes.
Sort of where everything first started.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I'd like to go a little bit further to fully tell her story. So just to get the full picture of her journey. So we have two older kids. She's our youngest. And we had actually been trying for baby number three for almost 3 years before we got pregnant with Charlie. And so that's part of her journey. That's part of her story. And I found out I was pregnant. It was COVID times. So I was sick with COVID. My whole family was sick, but they were recovering. They were fine. They were all good. I was not. I could not get better. It was the day before Thanksgiving of 2020. And I was like, I don't know. Something's not right. I'm just not feeling well. I had, you know, the really bad shortness of breath and to where it was hard to even walk without like gasping for air. I couldn't even talk to anyone without panting. It was so bad. I was coughing. I had the shortness of breath, the cough, the sore throat, all of that. And I just wasn't getting better. It was weeks and weeks and I'm like, something's not right. So we go to urgent care and you know, because it was COVID, they weren't allowed to have any visitors in. So it was just me. My husband drove me there and had the two older kids in the car. And they wanted to do a chest x-ray because they thought maybe I had pneumonia. And they're like, is there any chance you could be pregnant? And I'm like, oh, that's funny. Like, no, yes, there's a chance, but I'm probably not because we've been trying for like almost 3 years, right? And find out that I'm pregnant at the urgent care. And I'm just like, I'm so shocked because at this point we're kind of like, maybe we'll foster, like maybe we'll adopt. Like we're kind of like, well, maybe this isn't in our plan, right? So find out that I'm pregnant there and I'm just like freaking out. So then I go out to the car, tell my husband, Jordan, and the two older kids that I'm pregnant. And, you know, it's just insane, insane. So that's really where her story starts.
Fantastic. Was Jordan shocked?
Yes. We were all in shock because we were just kind of like, we hadn't given up, but we were open to however baby number three was going to come, right? We were like, okay, maybe we're holding on too tight. And, you know, we just kind of started letting go a little bit. And that's actually, I think, how it happened because we were holding on so tight. We let things go and kind of gave in and surrendered. And then it happened in God's timing. So so then I became a COVID long hauler my whole pregnancy. I had all those symptoms the entire pregnancy, which definitely made things complicated. Then I had placenta previa with a bleed. So placenta was blocking the cervix and there was bleeding. I was hospitalized for weeks at a time. Again, just like adding complexity because of COVID, and you can only have one visitor. So my husband, like juggling all of that, like our village really had to show up for us. So that was challenging. Then we have Charlie and we make it to the 37 weeks. We're all good. We're all healthy. We have her via C-section. Things go well. And she's healthy the first 2 days of life. She's pooping as she should. All of her checks are great. She's looking well. I'm doing fine. I did have to have a blood transfusion, but that seems like nothing compared to like our whole story. Because I lost a lot of blood, but they're like, oh my gosh. So I had a blood transfusion. That was fine. I felt better the next day. But we were like getting discharged from the hospital. Everything was fine. Like Jordan's packed up the car. He's like coming back up. We got a wheelchair. Like we're literally like heading home. Called my sister-in-law, like, hey, we're gonna, you know, we're heading home. Meet us at the house with the bigs. And then she started puking up green bile. And so then it was like, whoa, like something is not right. We don't know what this means, like what's happening. We called the nurses in and at first they're just kind of like, oh, it's just spit up, like no big deal. Like, oh, that's normal. And I hadn't seen it. My husband had. So I was in the bathroom whenever he was like, oh my gosh, like something's wrong. And so they're just like, kind of like pushing us off. Like, no, it's not a big deal. And he's like, no, I need someone to check her out. Like, this is not okay. We have two older kids. Like, this is definitely not normal spit up. This is green. And so then they finally like brought doctors in and started like checking her out, saw it for themselves. And they're like, okay, you're going to the NICU. And that's when like a series of events happened that led to her diagnosis of Hirschsprung's disease at 3 days old. So, you know, that was a really scary, like uncertain time for us. We had no idea what's wrong. They're running all sorts of tests. We see her in the NICU and she's hooked up to all the things and you don't know what's going on or why this is happening. So it was really, really terrifying. And meanwhile, I'm like still in a wheelchair, you know, just had major C-section surgery 2 days prior. So I'm like all sorts of not okay. that's when she finally was diagnosed with Hirschsprung's disease. And then she had a pull-through surgery at 8 days old.
Wow. That's incredible story. Thank you for sharing all of the pre 2 days old, because I think that's very, very interesting to hear. But was there sort of any family history of Hirschsprung's, or was it kind of like, well, my story is such in the fact that, you know, I've got three brothers, none of them got Hirschsprung's, nothing in my family and anything. Was there sort of any indication?
No. So we have no known family history. We haven't done any like genetic testing. We want to just to know if it is possibly in the genetics, but no known history, and had not even heard of Hirschsprung's disease prior to this. We had no idea.
Wow. So she has her surgery at sort of a few days old. And was she diagnosed with, I'm guessing just from the symptoms you described, is it short segment?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Short segment Hirschsprung's. Around about, I think about 80% of Hirschsprung's people are short segment. So at least you get sort of, from having an uncommon disease, at least you get a sort of common-ish outcome from that, which I don't know whether that's any comfort to take, but it's...
Yeah.
But yeah, sort of 80% from what I've read. And I know you've done quite a lot of research yourself as well. I know we're sort of skipping ahead a little bit, but do you want to talk a little bit about some of the research you've done?
Yeah. So, after the surgery, we were kind of misled by doctors in the fact of like, the surgery was successful, so you don't have anything to worry about ever. Like, she's going to be healthy. You know, because we ask, like, what could this affect her later in life? Like, what does this look like? And by the surgeons and all of the doctors that we came in contact with, they assured us that she would have no other issues and there's nothing to worry about. And so, you know, when she was newborn and we learned about this, then we're researching and we're Googling and we're like trying to figure out all the things we need to learn about it. But then after the surgery and she was healthy, she was a healthy baby. For the most part, she didn't have any other complications after surgery. And so we kind of like, we knew she had it, but it was kind of like one of those things that we thought, okay, well, she's kind of cured. Like, you know, like she had the surgery and that fixed it. And we don't have to worry about anything because we didn't have any other health complications to prompt us to worry about it. Now, anytime she had any sort of stomach issues as a baby, we would always ask, do we need to think about the Hirschsprung's disease? Do we need, like, you know, is this anything, is there a complication with the Hirschsprung's disease that we need to, like, discover or look through? And the doctors would always tell us, no, nothing related, always. And for the most part, they were right. But she then, when she was a little over two, she started having this nonstop diarrhea. And at first, you know, the pediatrician is like, it's a stomach bug. Okay. So then a couple weeks go by, she's still having it. And then they're like, oh, she's teething. It's teething. So then a couple more weeks go by, we're still dealing with this. And so then they're like, well, let's do a stool sample and see if there's anything going on. She actually came back with a positive for parasite. So then they treated her for a parasite. And so that was antibiotics. And then we're still dealing with the same issues weeks later. Then it's like, oh, well, the gut needs time to heal, right? So the gut needs to heal for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I'm like, how long does the gut take to heal? I mean, because this is still going on weeks later. And so that's when we started, you know, really trying to do our own research. That's when we finally got a GI referral for a GI specialist. They got it on board. They started testing all sorts of things. So they did an endoscopy. They did a colonoscopy. They did like a million stool samples is what it felt like when you're doing stool samples and all sorts of x-rays. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to put her through another x-ray. We're not, you know, after months of this, we're like, we're not getting anywhere. You know, we're not like, I don't feel like we're getting any closer to an answer. You know, they thought that she had bacterial overgrowth. So they did another round of antibiotics. And that didn't work. And I'm like, okay, I'm tired of giving her just antibiotics after antibiotics, seeing no results from it, not having an answer, feeling like, oh, this is it. This is the thing, you know, and then being so confident that they figured it out and then it not being the thing. And so, you know, that's when we really started just getting on the internet, getting on Google, searching and searching for, you know, anything that would give us some guidance. I started losing trust in our, you know, GI specialists and in our doctors. And for, you know, it's not their fault, but it felt like they don't really know. They don't really know what this is. I don't feel confident that we're even looking in the right spot. I don't feel confident that we're getting any closer to an answer. And so, so that's whenever I found some Facebook groups. And that's whenever I discovered your podcast. You know, that's whenever, you know, I found these support groups out there. And that is how we found Nationwide Children's Hospital. And we discovered Dr. Wood. And so just searching the Facebook page, you know, asking a lot of questions and searching for recommendations. You know, we talked to lots of different hospitals. But when we talked to Nationwide, we just felt like this is the team that we need on our side. Oh my gosh, that's so funny because the commercial Nationwide is on yours.
Okay. Yes.
Anyways, so we just felt like this is a good fit. Like that we feel confident that they're going to help us, you know? And so they were great from right from the beginning. Just any phone call I had with them, super supportive. I felt like, you know, we had a phone call with one of the nurses and it felt like in my hour phone call with her that she was more knowledgeable about Hirschsprung's disease than the current doctors that we had been seeing. You know, it was like, hey, I feel like we're in the right spot. We're in the right hands. And so that's why we decided to travel from Texas to Columbus, Ohio and see Dr. Wood. And that is where we found out that she is missing 80% of her dentate line. And the dentate line is where your body is giving you the sensation to know that you have to poop. And I didn't know what a dentate line was. I had never heard of that. I'm like, okay, now I'm Googling dentate line. How important is it? Like, do you really need one? Like, you know, like, I don't know. It's like the things you take for granted, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 No, I was just thinking, I mean, in all of the things you have to search, your Google history must look very interesting indeed. I imagine.
Yes, all the poop things, all the body parts. I'm like, okay, what's the anatomy? Like, I need to picture this. Where, like, what? So when we were at Nationwide, they did an exam under anesthesia for Charlie. And that's when he discovered that she was missing 80% of that line. And he said that, you know, his assumptions would be that they cut too low in her pull-through surgery at 8 days old, damaging that dentate line. And what I loved about Dr. Wood was that he was very transparent. You know, he said, I'm going to tell you what I see, exactly how I see it. And we're like, yes, please, because we want to know whatever we need to know. And at the time, we like really weren't sure, what does this really even mean for her life? Like, we still are not taking it day by day. But it's like more and more I'm processing the information and understanding, you know, what that could mean for her. But basically, it means that she is needing bowel management currently. And in the future, they say that, you know, she could have function. She could not. We don't know. They've seen people, you know, gain that function later in life. They've seen others that can't at all and need that management. So right now, what that looks like is either doing laxatives or daily enemas. And she's 3 now. So that's been interesting.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. No, I have enormous sympathy with that because, as I mentioned a little bit, some of my stories that, yeah, I went through something very, very similar in terms of the enemas and the washouts. Had the stoma at 9, did the washouts up to 15, but fingers crossed from 15 onwards, everything is normal. No washouts, no stoma, no nothing. And I'm not here to give any medical advice or anything like that, but I just really want to show that actually, you know, it is very much possible to be quote unquote of a normal life, you know, without the washouts, without the enemas and everything. But no, thank you so much for sharing the story so far. You said a little bit about sort of Facebook groups and about Instagram, and we talked a little bit about your reels that you've done that have been, you know, incredibly informative. Just how much has social media, because we all know that social media, it has great things, it has terrible things, and everything in between. But how much has social media helped you in particular?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness, so much. Like, we would not have known what we know now. We would not have the knowledge. We would not have the support and the community, because there were some moments. So we struggled for a year before we found Dr. Wood. We struggled with, you know, the unknown and being all so worried and all of the emotions and feeling really alone in this and feeling a little like, maybe I'm crazy, you know, like, what's happening? I don't know. There's some insanity here. I don't know. But so it was everything to me to find this support system online. And I think because the disease is so rare, I didn't know anyone in my in-person life that has ever had this or said the word to me. So I know nobody in my real life, you know? And so just feeling really alone and feeling just really scared. So the online community has been everything. And that's really where we found, you know, our hope. We found like, okay, we're not alone in this. We have support. And I have a group of people, you know, it's over 10,000 people in that community that have personal experience, whether that's themselves or their children. And they're a great support group when you have a question or you just need like, hey, am I alone in this? You know, you can do a search in the Facebook group and find, oh, actually, this is actually not too uncommon. And, you know, it gives me that sense of hope and that like, oh my gosh, okay, you know, I can have faith that things might get better, right? And I can like see the other side of things where maybe I feel so deep, dark in this lonely, gloomy space right now, but there's hope that things could get better, right? And it's nice to be able to connect with other people. And I'm like so grateful for that community because it's how we found, you know, Dr. Wood. And he's so amazing and highly recommended by so many people. I mean, people travel all over the country and out of the country just to see him. And so I feel very grateful because I don't know how long we would have gone down this road with our GI doctors and not found the root cause of her issues, you know?
No, definitely. That's fantastic. And when it comes to Dr. Wood, I've never met him myself. I'd love to have him on the show one day. But all I see quite often in that, I presume that the Facebook group you're talking about, the one with about 10,000, that Hirschsprung's, I think it's family and friends or something along those lines. I see so many people talking about Dr. Wood and saying how amazing he is. And he saved my life on this. He helped me with that. And just how incredible he is. And for people outside in the US, might not necessarily have come across him before, But from what I've seen, he is definitely one of the best in the world.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, the team there, the team that he has at Nationwide Children's Hospital, they have been such a blessing, at the entire team. I feel supported. I'm in Texas. They're in Ohio. I feel more supported by them than I did with our current, with our local 5 minute down the street doctors. So that just kind of tells you, like, the level of care and the level of support that they give their patients is incredible.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely fantastic. And talking of support as well, one of the things I know you wanted to bring up was the Ronald McDonald House Charities. I know you've just, I know people will be listening to this maybe a few weeks on from when we're recording. But I think it was yesterday or the day before you did a really good reel on Ronald McDonald House Charities and how much they've sort of supported you and your family. Would you like to talk a little bit about them?
Yes, absolutely. So I it's hard to even express, like, in words how much gratitude I have for Ronald McDonald House and how it's so much more. On the outside looking in, you might think, like, okay, yeah, they have, like, a bed you can sleep in, whatever. It's not that big of a deal. But it really is everything for you when you have a child who's sick or a child who's in the hospital. There's so much uncertainty going on. It is that one ray of hope and sunshine and support and love and care that you get from the Ronald McDonald House. It's so much more than just a place to sleep. It is that, and that's that's so helpful for so many families, especially when you're traveling, especially, you know, when you have a kiddo that's there long term. But it's more than that. It's a community. It's families that have that safe space where they can stay in between treatments. It's a place for your kid, you know, to really just be able to be a kid and have fun in maybe these really difficult times in their life. It could be the most difficult time in this child's life, and they're able to stay in a fun place. I mean, the one in Ohio was so much fun for us. It was like we decided before we went that this is going to be an adventure. We're very scared. We have a lot of fear, but you know what? We are going to flip that, and this is going to be an adventure. We had never taken just Charlie, me and my husband, you know, on a trip. So we're like, we're going to have fun. Yes, we're going to do some things that aren't so fun, but we're hopeful that we're going to find answers that's going to help her. So that was all positive. It was, we're going to have an adventure. We're going to find the fun. We're going to find the joy. And the Ronald McDonald House made that possible in so many ways because they have so many fun things for kids. They had a princess room. They have a library. They have a music room. They have so much to distract in the best way possible for these children who are not having such a fun time, you know? And it was so much fun. She called it the Donald Hotel. And she still asked me, like, are we going to go back to the Donald Hotel? Like, it was so fun. And I love that experience. She got something fun out of it. She got a positive, you know, a takeaway and a memory that she's probably going to have for the rest of her life. And it's a memory that's good. You know, it's not all negative.
Absolutely. No, I love the fact that you turn it into a positive, because it would be so easy, you know, to go, oh, I'm going for a surgery, we're going for a checkup, we're going for, you know, a stay in a hospital, you know, and when people say stay in a hospital, automatically they think, oh, something's wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And I love the fact that you went, this is an adventure. This is a positive experience. And it's obviously had a great effect on your daughter, because she now has a bright outlook for the Donald House, as she calls it.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And I think that that was key, because leading up to it, I felt a lot of anxiety. You know, I felt a lot of worry, and I had to shift into something better to make it a better experience for her and for us. And so we did that the best we could. We had some rough nights there, but it was still something that, you know, we wanted to make as fun as possible. And it really helped to stay there and have that experience for her. And then something else that I didn't realize, you know, I would find there is the the other community support from other families. And so we actually met a family that has a child with Hirschsprung's disease who has seen Dr. Wood as well. And so that was just incredible in itself. We just spent time connecting and sharing our stories. And it gives me chills to just talk about it because I'm still connected with her. You know, we still keep up. We still keep in touch. And, you know, I'm rooting for her kid. She's rooting for mine. You know, I have another support system that I can lean on. And it was just incredible to have that in-person interaction with someone that knows what I'm talking about and gets it from a parent perspective as well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right with that. I know talking on Zoom and speaking to as many people as I have about Hirschsprung's is fantastic and I love it, but it must be something, have a slightly different feeling when you meet somebody, you know, actually in person, face-to-face type thing, as opposed to sort of over Zoom or anything like that.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
But it's, that's fantastic. And thank you so much for the kind stuff on Ronald McDonald House Charities, because as I've mentioned to a couple of people, I do have somebody from the charity coming on in a couple of weeks' time to come and talk about everything that they do and all of the fantastic work that they do all across the world. Because I have so many people who've come on this show and said, I really want to talk about the charity. I really want to say about the great work they do. And I thought, well, instead of me sitting here having had no experience of Ronald McDonald Charities, I thought I'll get someone who knows what they're talking about. So I think that will be coming up. I've got Jazz from Ronald McDonald House UK coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So hopefully that'll be a really good one for people to listen to as well. Because it has touched so many, many people. I think they were saying something in the region, just in the UK, of 100,000 families, which is not just 100,000 people, but 100,000 families. So you times that by, three or four. That's an enormous amount of people that they help.
Yeah. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Absolutely. The impact is so great. And it's incredible the work that they're doing. So for sure, I'm happy. I'm so excited to listen to that episode as well. And I think the other thing that touched me is that there's nonprofit organizations that help support Ronald McDonald House. So, you know, we got this huge goodie bag of all sorts of things that were donated from other nonprofit charities. And it really inspired me. You know, it's like, wow, what can I do to serve, you know, this group? What can I do to help these families in that hard time? Because it may seem like just like a little thing, but it makes a big impact when you're going through something so hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of you helping, you are also, you have joined me in becoming an ambassador for ReachHD in America/Canada. Obviously, they sort of put out a release a few weeks, months ago. What made you think, obviously, apart from all of the experiences you've talked about today, what made you think, actually, I really want to be an ambassador?
Yeah, I think for me, it's helping other parents find resources for their children. It's helping them find a community, find people that just get it, you know? And I remember, you know, that feeling that I had whenever I felt alone in this, and I want to help others to find, you know, that sense of support that they need when they're going through a similar journey.
Fantastic. But I'm very much similar, and having had, I think there's now 5 ambassadors as of time of recording, and you are the, I think, 3rd person I've had from the Reach ambassador. So yeah, I had Steph on as well a couple of times. So yes, I'm going through the Reach ambassadors on the podcast. So a constant stream of podcast guests, which is always very handy for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just helpful to spread, you know, the awareness of it, and that there, you know, that there is hope and there is reasons, you know, to find the joy and to find the good in all of it.
Absolutely. I know we mentioned at the very beginning that you are an entrepreneur, and that you have your own podcast as well. It's nothing to do with Hirschbros. But would you like to explain a little bit about sort of the history of that podcast, sort of why you started it, and what it's about, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. So I started it because I wanted to help support women on their journey of becoming an entrepreneur. And so it highlights stories of female entrepreneurs, you know, and how they started out. And it's really about, you know, how to not allow the fears that you have inside of you to hold you back in your life with whatever you want to accomplish. And it's really interesting because, you know, I started it, I guess 2 years old now. And I started it as an example of bravery. And hey, I'm going to start this thing. I'm scared, but I'm going to show you that it's okay to do something while you're scared and just take that next step. It's really about empowering people to take the step, take the messy action. It doesn't have to be perfect. And guess what? It can't be perfect anyway. So like, let's just go. You know, you'll learn as you go. And something will maybe come of it that you didn't even expect. And so it's really been a lot of fun. And it's been a way to connect with other people who are, you know, out there doing something that scares them, but they're doing it anyways. And they're showing others by example to just go forward, you know, be that person that you need to be in the world, be that leader for someone else. And so that's been a lot of fun. And I'm just a natural community builder. So I do have a community of female entrepreneurs. You know, it's networking, it's support, it's mentorship, that sort of thing. So it's all online right now. And then it's also locally here in Fort Worth, Texas.
Fantastic. That sounds absolutely brilliant. And just to sort of tie it up and bring it back to sort of HD for a moment, a lot of the things you said there about sort of empowerment and embracing challenges and trying to overcome them and sort of having that sort of fear that a lot of people have when they, you know, especially when they're, you know, facing operations and things like that. Did you take a lot of that, that podcast and your business that you built, and sort of have to then put it into, just sort of use it in your own journey and put it into practice, instead of sort of saying, right, I'm going to do this in my business, I've now got to apply it to my personal life as well?
Oh yeah. Everything applied. And it's funny because it's like, be careful what you wish for, right? Because if you're going to wish for showing bravery and being an example of bravery, well, you're going to be kind of handed a lot of things that you have to show up for and be brave for. And it's very interesting to reflect on just that, because I had no idea when I started, you know, the podcast and this mission of helping others be brave, just how brave I'd have to be in these moments and in ways that I had not expected at all. So it's been very interesting.
Yeah. No, you then end up becoming the sort of living embodiment of having to be brave as well. But I think that also must help in terms of the podcast and the business as well, because you can then, instead of, you know, telling and whatnot, you can then say, actually, this is what I've done. You know, I've had to face these enormous challenges as a mother, and then have to overcome them myself. So I guess that sort of brings more and more legitimacy, I guess, in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, it builds that courage muscle even more, to a level that I didn't have before, you know?
No, I think that's fantastic. And it's really interesting how the two have sort of dovetailed together in a way.
Yeah.
And just as we sort of wind towards the end, in terms of, obviously, we talked about everything that Charlie Grace has been through, what would you like to see for her in the future?
Yeah, I would love to see, you know, Hirschsprung's disease not hold her back in any way, you know, and I think that the way that we have handled the challenges that we've had and the things that we've been dealt, I think, are encouraging of that. You know, we're going to not dwell on all the challenges and all of the negative. We're going to flip it and really use it to build up our strength and to build up that resiliency. And she's also teaching us so much, because kids are so resilient. And what I worry about and think that's going to be, you know, like a impact to her, she's proving me wrong. Like, no big deal, whatever. Like, it's not even a thing. And so I think that I want her to continue that, you know, that really, she's got a wild spirit. I want her to continue her wild spirit and be full of life and joy and always, you know, find the joy even in the hard stuff.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fantastic. And to sort of continue that positivity, I guess. But no, thank you ever so much for sharing your story and Charlie Grace's story. And I know that you'll keep us up to date with all of your reels on Facebook and Instagram. Where can people find those and find you?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this podcast and the community, and I'm grateful to be here with you. So on Instagram and Facebook, it's Robyn_Lynne, and it's RobyN_Lynne. And then my website is robynltaylor.com. So that's where you can find me.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I know it kind of goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I wish all of you the very best of luck with the future. And thank you so much for sharing your story and coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Hirschsprung's Hour on UK Health Radio. You can find me on Facebook under Tom's Hirschsprung's Podcast, or Instagram on Tom's_Hirschsprung's_Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll bring you another episode soon.